This is Radioactive, a grassroots environmental and social justice news journal with Amy Brown and Meredith DeFrancesco for September 3rd, 2009. Later in the program, we'll be talking with Steve Husson from the local group Food and Medicine, and we'll see what's planned for their annual Labor Day celebration. But first, we're going to be talking with Brianna Twofoot. She's a field organizer of the Maine Civil Liberties Union, and Maine Civil Liberties Union issued a back-to-school privacy alert this week. Brianna is joining us to tell us what that's about. Welcome, Brianna.
Hi, thank you.
So this is based on response to a law that was passed in Maine this spring. Can you give us some background and tell us what the concerns are for privacy?
Sure. So the bill was LD 1356. It was called an act to improve the ability of the Department of Education to conduct longitudinal data studies. And this was an effort brought forth by the Department of Education to create student records that could be tracked from the beginning of a child's education all the way through to their career. And they're going to link education records with records at the Department of Labor to try and create a snapshot of, you know, how are schools preparing Maine students for their careers. We are concerned with the bill because the tracking, the way that they want, the Department of Education wants to track student records is with Social Security numbers. And there's a long history. Social Security numbers were not created as a means of identification. There's a long history of sort of data breaches with federal agencies. And then there's just sort of the idea of you're linking, you know, student records, which includes disciplinary infractions or absences or failures of courses. You're linking that to a child's Social Security number, so something that happens when you're a 7-year-old in second grade, you know, someone in your career might be able to access that information when looking at your records with the Department of Labor.
So a potential future employer could look back and see the detention that you had in eighth grade or something.
Exactly, exactly. So there's just the sort of, you know, every child has a right to succeed and their potential shouldn't be cut short because of something that has happened when they're younger. And, you know, when we were working on the bill, when it was in the legislature, there were a number of administrators and teachers and parents who were really concerned with what this means for students as they're growing, you know, getting to know themselves, knowing that something that can happen when you're younger can now be attached to your Social Security number, which is a number that we all use, probably a lot more than we should.
You'd have to wonder if the people who are considering putting this through, who were, you know, putting this process together, would have even considered it if it would be retroactive and we could go back and get all of their records from childhood.
It's true. I think everyone probably has an incident from when they were younger, whether it's, you know, maybe absences, a lot of absences you had in one grade because you were sick or someone in your family was sick, or just an embarrassing incident where you ended up getting in trouble for something that you didn't mean to. You know, that's something that shouldn't be following you. Certainly, it's problematic if it follows you through your educational career, but to take that beyond into your professional career, it's a violation of students' privacy.
So parents have to opt in. It's not an automatic thing.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned that. So the privacy alert that we issued is a notice, which is really information that should be coming from the Department of Education, a notice that this is an opt-in program. No parent, no child is required to give their Social Security number to schools. And, you know, the reason that we wanted to issue this alert, we got a call from a principal in Southern Maine who was curious about, you know, what to tell families. He didn't even know that this wasn't a requirement, that parents or students weren't required to hand over Social Security numbers. His understanding of the law was that everyone had to do this. And, you know, we told him this is actually an opt-in program. No one is required, and that's, you know, you've been misinformed. So understanding that school administrators haven't received information of how this program should run, we wanted to make sure everyone understood you are not required to give this information. It is well within everyone's rights to say, you know, no, I choose not to participate. I'm not going to opt into this program.
So what if a parent is registering their child for school or they've just gotten school, they found out about this program, and the administrators at their child's school are misinformed, as the principal you spoke with was? who can they go to back them up on this? Or is the law somewhere accessible that they can print off a copy and bring it into their local school? Or how do they do that?
Yeah. So I think in the moment, it's as simple as saying, no, I'm not going to provide this information. And I think given that the law does describe the program as an opt-in, you know, in the moment it might not be resolved, but certainly it can be resolved afterwards. So everyone can print the LD number. If you go to the maine.gov/legis, L-E-G-I-S, you can type in the LD number. It's 1356, and that will pull up the language of the bill. It's easy enough to print it off and bring it with you. What I think is probably easier is to, in the moment, say no, do not provide the information, you're not required to, and then to get in touch with your superintendent's office. And the superintendent, if they are not familiar with the language of the bill, could be in touch with the Department of Education.
All right, well, one more thing for parents to be aware of, as I know there's a lot of controversy brewing around potential vaccines this year as well with the swine flu.
It's true.
All right, well, before we close, anything else happening there at the MCLU that you want to make sure people know about?
I mean, there's always a lot going on. I definitely would want to encourage everyone to, inform yourself about the referendum question, the No on One, which will protect Maine equality or marriage equality. So if you're going to vote on November 3rd, if you're not going to vote, please do vote. And if you are going to vote, please vote no on one to make sure all of our families are protected.
All right. And they can get in touch with you by?
Sure. You could email us at our office. It's info@mclu.org. Or you could call the office as well. And we have a lot of information that goes onto our website. It's also mclu.org. We have a blog that's updated every day with sort of all of the ongoings in our office.
And Facebook page too, right?
We do. We have a Facebook page. We have a Twitter account for those of you who tweet. You can follow us at MaineCLU. And if you are on Facebook, you can just search for us, Maine Civil Liberties Union. We update that page with a lot of, both what we're doing in the state and then at the federal level.
All right. Well, thank you for talking with us today.
Thank you, Amy.
That was Brianna Twofoot. She's the field organizer for the Maine Civil Liberties Union, and their website, again, is mclu.org.
Labor Day is observed this year on Monday, September 7th. We spoke with a representative from the organization Food and Medicine in Brewer, which is made up of and interfaces with organized and unorganized workers, laid-off workers, student and faith groups, and other community members. Steve Husson currently works with Food and Medicine after he was laid off at DHL.
Steve Husson, and I'm the Special Projects Coordinator at Food and Medicine.
So this coming Labor Day on Monday, there'll be the traditional or the now annual Labor Day event at the Solidarity Hall in Brewer. And this year, as it probably has in times past, will go to benefit Solidarity Harvest, which has been a long-time program for laid-off workers at Food and Medicine. Can you talk about Solidarity Harvest?
Well, the Solidarity Harvest is what we Food and Medicine does since 2003 for laid-off workers during Thanksgiving. We gave out about 150 meals last year, and they're very large, can fill up 7 or 8 people, and it's a turkey dinner and all kinds of organic fixings to go with it. It helps the laid-off workers. This is given in solidarity. It's not charity. We do this in support of workers who are in difficult times. And the people I talked to last year who were receiving meals were very gracious to us that this had happened, and they were used to actually being people who donated and not people who received. So it is an example of solidarity. Many of the local farmers where we get our foods for this have given us the food for free or at cost or even half price. It helps bring the farmers together with the people, and it's a benefit for everyone. It's a win-win situation, but we just consider it a Band-Aid to help the people out for a few days, and it doesn't cover all the things that are necessary in their lives that are going to be continue to be tough as long as they're laid off. But we do what we can, and for at least a couple of days, it helps people out some.
And who this year are the laid off workers? What industries have been affected that have ended up being the recipient end of the Solidarity Harvest this time around?
Well, the last time around, there were some of the DHL workers who were laid off.
Like yourself?
Pardon?
Like yourself.
Yes, except for I managed to find another job in time. And a lot were laid off workers from the Millinocket Mill and the Domtown Mill in Baileyville and the mill workers from Ashland and a few from Old Town at the time, too. It was a lot, mostly union workers, but the main reason I was union worker was because they are organized, so we know who they are. We know when they're in trouble. When somebody gets laid off at a local convenience store or something like that, we just don't hear about it, so we don't know their names. So we're able to work through the unions, who donate quite a bit to this whole program, and we're able to contact these people much easier that way.
And there's another program that brings labor and farmers together, and that's the USA, the Union Supported Agriculture Project. Is that continuing this year?
Oh, yes, that's worked out quite well. It grows every year that we've done it, where we put people in contact with the farmers, and we run a farm share program where the farmers grow good agricultural products, all organically grown. And at the start of the year, people buy a farm share, and as the food grows and is picked, we divvy it up, and we give it to the people who bought farm shares.
So there's an event happening then this Labor Day, Monday, to benefit Solidarity Harvest. Can you talk about what this event in particular will focus on?
Well, the Labor Day celebration, first we have Bill Morrissey, who is pretty much a folk hero in this area, coming to play. Should be some pretty good music. Plus we have a play by Harlan Baker that he will be performing called Jimmy Higgins, A Life in the Labor Movement. And this is going to be great. We're going to have grills running, so we should have great music, theater, and food, and more. And we will be also pushing to support the Employee Free Choice Act and health care reform, as well as trying to get what money we can for the Solidarity Harvest. The tickets are $20, and they're available at Bull Moose Music, or you can get them right here at the door at 20 Ivor Street. Or if you have any questions, the phone number is 989-5860. But we do support the Employee Free Choice Act, which, if anyone hasn't heard, is a bill that is coming up before the United States Congress, which would support workers who wish to form unions. As it is right now, corporations, for whatever reason they choose, do not want unions in, and they've made it practically impossible for people to start a union or to join a union. And the 3 points of the Employee Free Choice Act would make it easier to unionize. There would be just a card check instead of a rigged vote. It would force employers to pay large penalties when they break the law, and it would also make arbitration in 3 months instead of the company just stalling out for years rather than signing a contract. So we are in support of the Employee Free Choice Act because food and medicine always stands up for workers. And we also wish to inform people on what's happening in the health care issue, although they're probably getting a lot of it in TV.
What is the union stance? It's very much in support of health care reform.
Yes, it's very much on food and medicine. We promote either a single payer or a Medicaid for all stance. So instead of all the money that is going to pay premiums to private insurers, would go into a pool which would be organized and would actually give us a whole lot more medical coverage than we get now for the same price. If there was a single pool, then employers would no longer have to buy insurance for their employees, so there would be more wages for workers. And at the same time, internationally in our trade, we have to compete with other countries that provide insurance for their employees, that whose governments provide insurance for their employees. And this enables the companies not to have the cost of insurance, so they are able to charge lower prices for their goods. So all in all, we definitely promote health care reform, and we hope that it will become a more government-run system.
And these are two topics that Food and Medicine and the Eastern Maine Central Labor Council have been working on to educate their constituency?
Yes, these are very important issues, and we may not get another chance in our lifetime to bring these up again. So this is very important issues that people should be educated on so they can make a wise decision while we have the chance. And the opposition is very stiff, and it is the opposition coming from a small amount of people who own a very large amount of the American economy, and this kind of opposition has gone on for year after year after year, and it's a chance for the majority of us to be able to gather together and to actually get something done to make America just a better place.
Can you give us some of your own reflections on Labor Day? There is International Labor Day on May 1st, where we also reflect on labor. But on this Labor Day, you worked at DHL, and where you were working to unionize and were involved quite heavily in a union busting attempt there, which yourself and others were able to be successful in. Can you talk a little bit about your perspective of the importance of reflecting on labor and on Labor Day?
Well, when I think of Labor Day, I do think in terms of historical senses, of an historical sense, where over the past century, many people have died just trying to gain a better life for the average working person in America. Some of the gains have been unemployment insurance and safety rules and Social Security and child labor laws and overtime and the 40-hour work week and get Saturdays off and the countless other things that have come along with the labor movement. As far as personally with the DHL, well, we did vote to get a union in, and they managed to close our station and open a new one in Brewer. And they decided not to hire anybody that was known to have voted for the union. And we had to stand up for 13 weeks in early spring, walking 72 paces down and 72 paces back in the rain, sleet, and the snow. And we were able to finally, because our case was fast-tracked through the Labor Relations Board, we were able to get our jobs back and our back pay and our union. And we're one of the few private sector places that has been able to unionize in the past few years. Mm. But we went through hell to do it. So I really appreciate the labor movement. And what happened to us is an example of what can happen to anyone if they try to stand up for their rights. We are guaranteed by law the right to unionize, but laws can be broken and manipulated by corporations to just to force their way upon people. And it's not necessarily because of people might want more pay or more benefits. It's kind of a power thing. They want to be able to tell people exactly what to do, and they want to keep people separate from each other rather than standing together. So the labor movement has been good for me, and if we can make it easier for people to unionize through the Employee Free Choice Act, it could make it easier for them to have a better life, too, for their families, and it also builds in the community because there are better jobs.
Well, thank you for joining us today. Can you reiterate the details about the Labor Day event this Monday in closing?
Yes. Well, Monday is September 7th, and at 3 p.m. at the Solidarity Center, which is 20 Ivor Street in Brewer, which is up behind St. Teresa's Church off in South Main Street in Brewer, we begin the show. And
Bill Morrissey.
Yeah, Bill Morrissey and Alan Baker's play, Jimmy Higgins. Theater, music, food, and lots of conversation and fun.
Great. And for more information, people can go to where again?
989-5860.
And a website, too?
It should be on the website, which is www.foodandmedicine.org.
Thanks so much for joining us today, Steve Husson with Food and Medicine and Brewer.
Well, thank you very much.
You've been listening to Radioactive, a grassroots environmental and social justice news journal with Meredith DeFrancesco and Amy Brown. You can listen to archived programs at weru.org. You can contact us at the station at news@weru.org or 469-6600. You're listening to Community Radio, WERU 89.9 Blue Hill and 102.9 FM in Bangor. Thanks for listening and acting.